Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back, Sports Saturday. Eric with you here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Of course, I love hearing that bumper music. That's a throwback to one of the former Drive Time hosts Monday through Friday here on CCO, our good friend Don Shelby, broadcasting icon, the Renaissance man. Don, how you doing?
Eric, I'm fine. How are you?
Well, great to share the airwaves with you. And when you hear that music, do you feel like doing radio 5 days a week again?
Absolutely. When I had an opportunity to introduce Booker T and the MGs at the Zoo at a big concert out there, I went back and was able to talk to everybody in the group who had originally started with the Memphis Horns as the rhythm section, and I told Booker that I had been using that bumper, that music, that theme song, for 50 years on the radio in one form or another, and then when I came to CCO for those 10 years, I had to have that Booker T and the MGs, and just it brings back great memories, and it makes me want to start broadcasting all over again.
Yeah, it's a timeless song, and kudos to our studio coordinator, Jonathan Lowe, for having the wherewithal to pull that out of the archives and say, you know, that's a good lead-in to Don Shelby. I heard you on a few days ago with Corey and Shaletta. I thought it was great radio. And, you know, you've covered major events in the Twin Cities, Don, for decades. But I think what we've seen maybe in the last 17, 18 days has been incredibly groundbreaking with the tragic George Floyd killing. Put it into perspective next to some of the other major stories you've seen over the decades.
Well, I think this one stands alone, Rick. I don't think that you can compare that. It's going to be an unfairness, I think, to try to put that in the panoply or the panorama of news events that have occurred in the Twin Cities, because this is a watershed moment. The riots that had occurred earlier on Plymouth Avenue in North Minneapolis, they were of a kind that was happening around the nation. In 67, I covered the riots in Cincinnati and then again in 68, which happened after the assassination of Martin Luther King. I've covered riots in D.C. in the 14th and U Corridor. I've covered the March on Washington. I covered these a lot of events dealing with civil rights and civil justice and equality. And let me take this moment to say something, and I don't want you to argue with me because you're going to, and I don't want you to, but here's what I want to do. I want to say to the people of Minnesota that I apologize for my failure to be able to head off this kind of event that we're talking about, because I had spent a career, and I mean the entire 55-year career here and elsewhere, trying to, believing that material objective truth, that fact put in the face of people, would force a internal dialogue and then change society. And I had been talking about injustice, and I had been talking about oppression, and I had been talking about systems that did with an unequal application. I'd been talking about police brutality. Hell, I taught rookie class for 5 years at Fives for the Minneapolis Police Department. I taught incoming cops about police media relations, and even teaching cops, and even and those were idealists back in the day, who came into the police department believing that they were a force for good, and still I believe can be if great changes take place. But I need to apologize because I failed, or George Floyd wouldn't be dead. If I had been successful, George Floyd wouldn't be dead.
Well, and that's a powerful statement, Don, because, you know, I got to know you when I worked at Channel 4. I've always respected your ability to get it on both sides of the fence. I never thought you saw color. I've played basketball with you. You talk more trash than anybody that I've ever played with. And and I've seen you throw a football across the newsroom. And I think I made the catch, by the way.
You did.
But when you say you failed, and I think that's a pretty strong indictment, and you may be overdoing it, but at what point, as you look back, could you or should you have spoken up more with the forum you had to maybe avoid the George Floyds and the Jamar Clarks that we've tragically seen over the years?
I could have done it after having read the Kerner Commission report in 1968 that came out of the study. Lyndon Johnson had ordered the Kerner Commission report. The governor of Illinois, Otto Kerner, was put in charge of a commission to try to figure out what the causes were for the civil unrest in the black community. Not just the marches, not just the civil rights movement, but that which resulted in the kinds of things like we saw with the burning and stuff like that, and later what you would see in Watts. And if I told you what the findings were of the Kerner Commission report, you would say that either I was lying or that I was reading something from today's newspaper. That it said, among the things that it said, that the cause of civil unrest was actually caused by whites, not by blacks. The blacks were the activists, but the whites had created a system that was unequal from the birth of the nation. And speaking of Birth of the Nation, that was a movie by D.W. Griffith, of course, but that was played in the White House by Woodrow Wilson and became federal policy, where white supremacy was the law of the land. And so you have to go into deep history. But I want to, before I tell you what I would have done differently, if I could have done anything differently, and it's easy to be on Sports Saturday talk about Monday morning quarterbacking, I learned very early a great journalistic lesson. Had nothing to do with journalism. There was a kid in my school, he was a white kid, didn't matter, that I was having a great deal of trouble with, and he always made me angry and picked on me a little bit, and I told my dad about it, and he said, "Well, before you do anything, have you ever imagined what it's like to be him?" I said, "What?" He said, "Well, just take a moment and imagine what it's like to be him." And I started thinking about it, and I started thinking about his circumstances, and I started thinking about the parents he came from, and I started to think about all different kinds of things. And it didn't take me a half an hour of thinking when I started to think sympathetically about him rather than disliking, because I could see why he was doing what he was doing, because guess what? It's what I would do in the same circumstance. And so my whole journalistic career, I never forgot my dad's lesson. to think about the subject of any story as though, what would I do if I had gone through what they had gone through? And so what I was telling Corey was the most important, is that if I hear another white person say they are colorblind, I'm going to puke. Because to be colorblind in this day and age, or in any day and age in our in the 401 years of slavery in this country, if you don't see a black person, if you do not see an indigenous person, you don't see a Pacific Rim Asian person, and see their difference is to erase their entire history and all their experience down through time, that which made them. So let me tell you, I am not colorblind. I never have been colorblind. I understand why people say that, because they think they're treating them equally. Well, you can't start now treating someone equally when you've had your knee on their neck for 400 years and say, get up, now I'm going to treat you equally. It cannot be done because they've been deprived, and we've done that systematically. Now, that sounds like a liberal civil rights activist. No, I'm telling you from the facts, from the history, just plain journalism, that's what has happened. And that's what we're, well, I don't want to necessarily glorify Malcolm X, but the chickens do come home to roost eventually.
Yeah. Yeah, that was his line back in the 1960s. Don Shelby, Twin Cities broadcasting icon, our guest here on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus Hotline. Okay, Don, we'll take a quick break, come back,
sure,
and I'll fire a few more questions out at you as we roll on here at Sports Saturday on WCCO. We are back, Sports Saturday, News Talk 830 WCCO. Final couple minutes with Don Shelby, former anchor, Channel 4, and, of course, Drive Time host right here on CCO. Don, okay, so Minneapolis, the epicenter of this new movement because of a tragedy, George Floyd being killed by the MPD. Are you optimistic that this movement will continue to gain momentum and we will see significant change?
Yes, I am. First, it's something that it has to happen. It has to happen if we are reasonable people. It has to happen because if we have great retrospective analysis, we can look calmly back at how we got here. And how we got here is by depriving people of housing, finance, jobs, opportunity, education, and their civil rights, and by holding them in a position that was less than us. If we don't believe that we believe those people who, in the audience who are white, if they don't believe in their superiority, most people would respond, no, I don't think that white people are superior to anybody else of any color. But then you have to do it mathematically. You have to give them a word problem, which everybody doing math hates. Give them a word problem and set up the condition in which actually the power has to be distributed equally. And then it becomes difficult to rise above your socialization and say, no, even in that situation, I would want equal treatment for everyone. You want to reserve a superior status. It is natural, and it is socialized. Now, I'm optimistic because, and this is taking nothing away from the great courage of the BLM people and those people who would take their lives in their hands and march and voice their opinions. But the mix of the crowd is what gives me optimism. Old and young, people of every race, every age group, but primarily young. Those who see the world through their idealistic eyes, and that's the way we need to see the United States, because the United States is an ideal. that we wish to be a country that treats people equally, though our system does not, because it wasn't constructed to do so. There has to be some deconstruction going on, and there has to be some giving up of some of our superior powers and sharing of those things. And that's going to take will on the part of each individual to want to share. It's not a natural inclination. That's why it is ordered in the Bibles and in all of the great texts of religions. We have to be reminded constantly in prayer to do that, to think of the least of us. And I'm not putting the African-Americans in the least camp, but I'm saying that we have provided the least. This system has provided the least to them. So do we think of the least of us? Yes. Optimistic, 100%, because you know what? These people vote, and they're going to vote in people who will make sure that we redesign a system that helps us live up to our obligation as human beings, stop taking for granted that we're running the show. All of us run the show.
Don, great stuff. We got to hit the top of the news hour. We'll have you on again if that's okay.
Anytime you want to call, Rick.
All right, very good. Don Shelby on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline here on News Talk 830-WCCO.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.